Now, what does the common sense dictate, Rabbi Sai? We're going to be learning some interesting halachas tonight. What does common sense dictate in terms of, do you feel that it is more fair that everybody pays an equal share towards the chazan? We learned yesterday that it's better to have a paid chazan than a volunteer chazan, true? That's what we learned yesterday. Better to... Okay, so that's the easy bit. Now comes the hard bit. How do we finance this? So Shulchan Aruch is now going to tell us how do you budget that? So is it, should every family pay the same amount, or do you feel that it's got to do with the size of the family? Do you feel that it's got to do with an income? Like the richer you are, the more you pay.
Shul fees. And then it goes in the pot, and then they give them away.
Yeah, is that the right way to do? So, and how does membership? Do you feel that membership should be according to size families? That, you know, if you got like a string of 12 boys, then you should be paying more?
It seems like you're penalizing people for having large families. That
doesn't seem right?
No.
Membership's only for adults.
Only for adults? Children are free. Everybody agrees with that. And do you feel that there's an argument to say that if you're rich, you pay more?
We already do. Yeah, we have that already. Because
why?
It's emotionally blackmailing to give them blackmail.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about emotional blackmail. I'm talking about pure, formally, more membership for richer people.
You don't have
formally.
A tzedakah or chomesh, so you wouldn't go beyond that and then go offer sure fees you should pay more. No, it's 10% of the chomesh, and that's it for everyone, rich or poor.
So it's a percent. So yes, it's pro. So it's a percentage. Do you ask that rich people are going to pay more?
No, it shouldn't pay more.
So membership. So the chazan should be paid from a. So if you want to know how would you pay the chazan, so you're telling me that everybody should pay equal amounts, and you're telling me that everybody should pay according to. Doesn't make it every adult. Same doesn't make a difference how big the family is. This will be fixed membership, and that's how. Look at that. Very, very interesting. Pardon? Richer pay more.
That's what you're
going to
say.
This is quite close to, I don't know about political philosophies, but I think, isn't there this... I'm in Siman Nun Gimel and Shulchan Aruch Siv Chav Gimel. So we discussed yesterday, you've got to have a paid chazan. So now we want to, okay, we understand, it's got to be paid. How do you pay him? Siv Chav Gimel. Chav Gimel. In Shulchan Aruch. Schar Shatz, the wage of the Shliach Tzibu. Poirim is drawn. Mekupasach Kol from the membership, from the pot, from the membership fees pot. And that's where the money comes from. Aval Pisha Shatz Moitzi Adal Ka'oshir. Despite the fact that the Shliach Tzibu is Moitzi, he is Moitzi by his tefillah, Hadal, the poor person, Ka'oshir, like the rich man, we call Mokum nevertheless. The poor man is poor after all. He's got less money. So if you've got more money, you pay more. If you've got less money, you pay less. Does that sound very foreign to us? It is. So gentlemen, I want to tell you something. That in the EAG in Switzerland, I don't know if there's other careless that do it like that. But you know how the membership fees is defined in the KL, in some careless. So it goes according to your tax bracket. Yeah, what's called a tax band. So depending on your tax band, you send it into the office confidentially. But you see how much tax you pay. So that's pretty much if you go into that. So that's how much. Based on that, in line with that, you pay membership fee. Okay, so if you want to know how the Shulchan Aruch, if the Shulchan Aruch sounds like such a weird thing, no. If you about the percent, the more money you've got, the more you pay towards the community. Isn't that fair?
No.
Why not?
Ridiculous.
You're getting the same service.
I'd like to get all the rich people stuff, but it's just. Like,
you're getting the same service. Yeah. So yeah, Rabbi Jenner, what do you think about it? I feel in a way it's very fair. If you, Hashem benched you with more, you chip in more. I think there's something intrinsically unfair about fixed fee.
Yeah, but
so intrinsically unfair.
They set the price quite high.
And then if you can't, you can't. I see. She's saying that ultimately it boils down to the same. It's the same idea. Yeah.
You pay what you can, but then the ones who've got money will pay more.
You say it boils down to the same. Okay. So I think it's very interesting. But it is done in some communities. Of course, you've got to make sure that the person working in the office is very confidential. And you've got to make sure that you've got to be tough, confidential, and it's got to be fair. But have you ever heard of such a thing anywhere on this island? No, but it's very fair, I think. Yeah. So that's that. Now, the Ramon Harif disagrees and doesn't have exactly the same model. That's for the accountants over here. You'll be able to follow this better than me, the accountants over here. ויש אים שגויבין חצי לפי מומן וחצי לפי נפושס וכן הוא המינק וכן הוא המינק הכלס. Ramos says make some sort of pshara, some sort of compromise. What's the compromise? Yes, 50% is according to the person's personal wealth, all right, but the other 50% is according to the size family. So this, everybody agrees, there's no fixed membership of £135.65. No, there's no fixed. So it's divided 50%. 50% of the is according to the size of the family. So the larger the family, the more you pay. The other 50% is that it depends on a person's wealth. So that's how you divide. So how would that, you'd be able to know that on an Excel sheet, I'm sure. The more you pay. I hear what you're saying, but you don't have less money just because more expenses. You've got more expenses. Doesn't mean you. So one of the things you're taking two data into consideration. Again, the accountants are here. Come on, you could figure this out. Because you're looking at the. So if a person has a certain. Let's say a person. To have the final figure, you figure out how much is the income. So how much does he earn a month or a year or whatever it is. Okay, and you take a certain percentage of that. Okay? Now, besides that, you also look at how many people are there in the family. And every person has got a certain fee. So it's going to, so if, let's say, a person is extremely wealthy and it's got a small family, that's the greatest bracket. And that's the greatest, if a person's got a very, very small income and a large family, then he's going to have the small. But if in between, it's kind of going to be figured out. You could do this on an Excel sheet. Come on, I don't know if you work with Excel. I don't know how you. But this could be figured out somehow. So that's what the Ramah says. What's the argument? I think so. Well, how would you understand otherwise? Tell me how you'd understand otherwise. That what? That since it's a bigger family. Yeah, so, but if you'd be right in this understanding, then it's twice the same point. That you'd be based on the person's wealth, and again, on the wealth. I wouldn't understand that. Yeah.
Mitzvah, at least the whole of the religion. We don't say your school fees to get that rich person to pay your school fees. Why are we saying this for now? Just this tiny, tiny area.
Yeah. Shabbos.
You don't say the rich
people
will pay. Just take from
there. Yeah, so I'll tell you what the Mishnah says over here. What are you asking? Are you saying that the it should be figured... What are you saying? There's intrinsically something unfair about penalizing...
Yeah, why are you doing this tiny area of this religion when the whole religion is, you don't say for more important things. This is a tiny hitter.
Yeah. Okay, so we want to talk about how the Rav's salary is figured out. That's what you're asking?
Well, your yeshiva fees.
Yeah, okay. Good. Okay, we'll find out a bit more about this. But the Mishnah Berurah does point out over here in Seif Katan, Yesamach... later on, Siv Cotton Ayin, he says, Minik Minasenu Dalva Oshin Oisin Bishova. Mishabu says that in our, the Mishabu brings over here Minik that in our country is a fixed fee, and anybody who is married and on pays the same fee. He brings that to such a Minik, And he says that, I think that's quite close to what you're saying. He says at the end, he says, if you go according to Mormon, you're going to end up penalizing the rich people to an extent that they won't go to bed. That the rich people, the really big boys, the really, really loaded people, they're not going to leave their houses. Because they know as soon as I leave a house, it's going to cost something.
I'm saying that's what happens with communism, socialism, all the rich people leave.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. So he said, yeah, exactly. He says, you can't do it. He says, you've got to kind of figure out some sort of balance. Okay, let's see a bit more about how, beyond that. Tzivchon Chav Dalet says as follows. In Tzivchon Dalet. Tzibu shetzichen lizchoy rav shliach tzibu. What happens if you've got a community? Okay, if you've got a wealthy community, you're going to go for the chazan as discussed. What if you don't have enough funding, budget is not big enough for both the chazan and the rav? What do you do? You need a chazan and a rav. What are you going to do? Why? Says Shulchan Aruch, tzibur shetzichen lizchoy rav shliach tzibur, ve'en biyodom kedei schar shneim. What happens if community, you want a rav and a chazan, you don't have money for both? Imu rav muvek v'godel b'toyre v'boki b'yira. If you've gotten a potential rav who is, again, is called a rav muvok, an exceeding tamid chacham, the god of the Torah is very great in Torah wisdom, uvoki be'ira, and he is well versed in paskening halacha, who koidem, the rav comes first, he's got priority. Ve'im lav, if the rav is not on such a level, the potential of the candidate is not on such a high level. He's not a boki behira. He's not great at paskining shaylis. He's not such an extraordinary tamid chacham. Then guess what? Shatz koydim, the shliach tzibur is going to come first. So if you've got a mediocre kind of rav, and you've got a chazan, so you're going to go for the chazan instead of the rav. You're going to be rav l'shul, but at least you've got what was his name?
Helfgott.
You've got Helfgott, but you don't have a rav. Right? Pardon?
Because
such a scenario, yeah. Yeah. So, but of course, if you can find a rav that is on a higher quality and is better, then you could prioritize the rav. Oh, that's very good. That's a good idea. Yeah, if you can find him, then it's great. Yeah. No, I don't think so. We don't find that the rav mustn't be a chazan. No. Now, why is the Rav first? If you can find somebody on a great stature, why is the Rav? Despite the fact that he's going to be lacking in your tefillah, if you've gone to Rav who's able to transmit Torah and promote Yiddishkeit, then that's the most important. Yeah. Now I just want to point out is that you really think that could be true? Let's step back for a second. Could that really be true? If you've got an option of a Rav who's a demiocre, not a great Rav, and a Chazan, if the Rav is not so great, you're going to go for the Chazan and the Rav? Does that really make sense? That's exactly it. So what the Achronim explain over here, it's obvious, it must be. Obviously, we're not talking about nowadays. We're talking about in a case that they cannot do the tefillah at all with his moitzi them. It's talking about the generations that the shliach tzibur would be moitzi the congregation, the chavasam. They cannot daven, they're unable to daven, the illiterate people, they cannot daven on their own. Then, you've got a real question over here. I can either have a rav who gives me Torah, or I can have a chazan who is moitz me in tefillah. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, if you've got a great rav, go for the great rav, and you won't have any tefillah, no tefillah, because I can't daven myself, and nobody's going to be moitz me. If the rav is not so great, he's got a horse, can't, flat, completely off tune, can't. And if I've got somebody who's not so great, if I don't have such a great Torah, he's anyway not going to influence, he's not going to give me so much Torah, then I'm going to go for the chazan, at least everybody's going to be moitz that tefillah. But of course, it's very important addition over here. What happens nowadays? What would you say that would be nowadays, according to that? The people are
But also, we don't necessarily need the Rav Mupar because you have many rabbanim in the whole.
See, nowadays you can just remotely like choose a Rav.com. Yeah? I see.
Yeah.
You don't mochi them.
Yeah,
they are really. I see. Interesting. It's interesting. You said it would be such a scenario instead of being mochi them. Yeah, the Ma'aseh Mishnah says here very, very, very crucially. He says, very beautiful words. It is a very great of great importance on every city to appoint a rav because of Chuvasim Sofa. The entire community is obliged, have got an obligation to chip in towards the rav of the community. And nobody's allowed to say, I don't need a rav. Why don't I need a rabbi? I know it all. I don't need a rav. I'm fine. I can just Google it. I can just Google it. To the Google Hadoi, as they call him. You've got to take the ownership together with the community to find the Rav. Just like on a mikvah, also an obligation on the community. Everybody has to chip in towards it. Similar to the Rav, there's an obligation on everybody to have a Rav. Now, I don't know. I was wondering when I learned this Mishnah Berurah, I have got the following question within it, and I don't know the answer, but I'm keeping it open-ended. When we are talking about a Rav over here, are we talking about option number one? So I understand it's really important to have a Rav, it's to chip in, and it's an obligation, the Chiyuv. Are we talking about somebody who paskens shilas? Somebody who can tell you, yeah, this is Mutar, this is Osur, this is Tohir, this is Tomei. Are we talking about that? Somebody who knows about, you know, practical halachas. He can tell you this mikveh is good, this mikveh is no good, this pot is fine, this pot is trefa. You know, he can paskin all the shinas, shabbas. Or are we talking beyond that also somebody who is inspiring the community? Somebody, would this halacha also apply to somebody who is not necessarily well-versed in halacha, but is a person who teaches Torah and inspires the community? Interesting question. Are we talking about purely halacha or beyond halacha? What would you say? Is there an obligation on the community to have an inspiring, fiery, or maybe not? Maybe just talking about, what would you say? It's got to have that inspirational aspect as well. Yeah, it's got to have that as well. Yeah, it could be because it does. Yeah, because the words of the Mishnah is Shodiyam Torah Hashem Mishpatel. He teaches them Torah and its laws. Yeah. There's Rav. There's always every shul. Most shul has got a Rav. Yeah, I know, but that's for, yeah, so maybe that's a good example. The normally the Rebbe, generally speaking, the Rebbe will not paskin halachic shailas. He just sets the tune and he tells the, but most kehillas will have, in absence of the Rebbe, they will have a Rav that paskin their shailas. So they call him a dayan generally, and he will be paskin in their shailas. Yeah, that's common practice, and it's actually, the model actually works very, very well. Very well. Yeah. So let's just summarize what we learned this evening. We discussed the following points, gentlemen. We learned that we spoke about funding of this position, this role. It's funded. The Shulchan Aruch says that the rich person pays more, less wealthy pays less. Rama says that's only half of the cheshbon. The other half of the cheshbon is depending on the size of the family. It's not very communist, is it? It's not very communist. But yeah, okay, that's what the Rama says. The argument would be that everybody benefits the same from the, everybody benefits the same from the chazan. But it looks like it's not. People have got more responsibility if you're more wealthy. Now we also learned that if a community has got no, Shulchan Aruch says if the community has got not enough funding for both the Rav and a Chazan, if the Rav is of great Torah stature, you go for the Rav. And the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch says, if he's not so great, you go for the Shliach Tzibur. However we explain, this is only talking about a case where the Shliach Tzibur will be moitzi, the community, of the obligation to fill it. If they can all daven independently, certainly, you will never prioritize the Shliach Tzibur over the Rav. Additionally, importantly, Mishnah Berurah taught us that it's very important for the community to find sufficient funding for a Rav, and it's really important for every community to have somebody's marbets, Torah and Yireh, Shiyodiyom Torah Zashem U'Mishpatel. So these are the points we discussed this evening. We'll continue Be'ez Hashem Yisif Chav Hei on Sunday, Be'ez Hashem. Okay, I wish you a very good evening.